This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
You are listening to the Portsmouth Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. It is that time again, 9:30 on a Tuesday night, which can only mean one thing. It is the Pompey Takeover. We've reached that time again. I'm excited for the next half an hour to see what you're saying about your team at a minute. And you can have your say because this show, well, it's yours. It's your say. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 70 20 558. You can WhatsApp on that same number. And I'm delighted to say now I am joined by Jordan Cross. Jordan, it's a real pleasure to have you on, obviously, on the show. First time on the show for you, getting to speak to you. You're a Pompey writer for Portsmouth News. Firstly, Jordan, what are you making of the season Portsmouth are having so far?
Well, you're probably going to get a different answer now to what you would have got two or three months ago. things are looking up somewhat at the moment. And I think that would be echoed by most Pompey fans. Perhaps an indifferent, almost ugly start to the season off the back of playoff disappointment last season. Remember, Pompey was 6 points clear at the top of League One sort of this time last year, it's in December. So there's a bit of a hangover from that and into a bit of a poor start. It got a bit ugly and the punters made it clear what their thoughts were about Kenny Jackett. There was going to be no honeymoon period this season off the back of what happened last term. But to Kenny's credit, he's a diligent professional man. Been a steady hand at the tiller, not being wavered by what's gone on, and now Pompey are two defeats in, I think it's the last 18 or so. So into January, hopefully we'll see what happens. How for the rest of the month in terms of recruitment, but as Kenny Jackett says, the season's ahead of him, and in a division, well, I don't know what you lads think, but it's a pretty open division this season. It's there to be had for a number of teams.
Yeah, it's a crazy League One season. It does always feel like it's that way, and no one's really emerging from that pack. And I know it's a cliche, and you just mentioned it there, bit of a slow, sticky start, but it's always how you finish your season rather than start one. Just on that, though, you mentioned it there, obviously, unlucky last year, didn't get to go up, didn't get that promotion, and there was this hangover. Why do teams, and obviously Pompey in this case, have that hangover? Why is it hard for them to sort of pick themselves up and get going again, Jordan?
Well, I mean, in the case of Pompey, there was a couple of key factors. Two of probably the two biggest players last season were Matt Clark, the defender, and Jamal Lowe, who a winger and attacking player, absolutely fundamental to the Pompey success last term. And it was going to be clear that if they didn't go up, certainly with Matt Clark, and it's pretty clear with Jamal as well, that they were going to be moving on to pastures new. And Matt Clark, for most Pompey fans, money would be certainly up there with the best they've seen in recent years, and is a Premier League player in waiting, really. I know he's out on loan in the Championship this season, but a real prospect him. Jamal Lowe's not done quite as well as many expected at Wigan, but they were really fundamental to Pompey's success last term. So there was going to be a kind of turnover in players, and the lads that came in, the likes of Paul Downing and Sean Raggett, probably early on in the season, not really kind of filling the boots of defensively of Clarkey. But they're starting to settle down now. Pompey, excellent home form. Not so, a bit dicky on the road, which is a turnaround from completely different last season from their record-breaking form. But if you're looking for factors like for the indifferent start, I'd go for those. So now it's down to the kind of the players that have come in, because the jury's out on the number of the signings made in the summer for them to really prove their worth throughout the running now.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Obviously, the players have got to prove their worth. And you mentioned Kenny Jackett, Jordan. You're saying, the fans weren't going to have this honeymoon period, especially after last year. They hit the ground running. I'm actually a big fan of Kenny, and I think he obviously is the right man for the job and the job that he's doing there. But I don't want to say fans have lost their patience. They hadn't with him. But why was this we know the job you're doing here, but there is that level of expectation. We need to be back in the Championship. So there wasn't as much, maybe, he was on a bit of a shorter leash, let's say.
Yeah, I think that's a fair statement. I think what irked a lot of Pompey fans was the manner of the playoffs against Sunderland, the defeat there. They felt that they didn't really have quite a go in those two games. And Kenny's can be quite pragmatic. He's a diligent manager. He probably gets a little bit unfairly tarred with being a kind of old school. And if you look around on social media, you see these sort of dinosaur emojis knocking around and whatnot.
I don't think he is that guy. I think that does him a disservice, Jordan.
I totally concur with that, because if you speak to Kenny Jacket on a one-to-one, we get to speak to him for an extended period in each press conference. It's open house. He was no questions off limits, and I don't think you'll find a more thorough manager. You can name a player in any of the top four divisions outside the football league as well, and he can probably give you a breakdown on what foot he is and an assessment. He's a football obsessive, he's got his recruitment team and the analysis department, but I think he's going to walk an encyclopedia on the game himself. He lives and breathes it, and he's a real gent, is Kenny. And as I say, the way he's conducted himself through some choppy waters, is a credit to himself. And look at his record; he gets teams promoted from these divisions and League One. So I think he's certainly, in terms of the hierarchy, he's as safe as houses. And there's been no one looking to change anything out of Pompey, and really quite right too.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned he's a class act, and not only that, but look at the pedigree. He's been there and done it. He's got teams promoted. He's made them sustain them in that league, and obviously they've become an established side in that respective division. And also, and of course, we're not saying this, but obviously in this conversation, the grass isn't always greener. When you are on that shorter leash, and maybe someone does let you go, and you've got to be careful what you wish for. But he's doing a good job there. Obviously, a place outside the playoffs, just on goal difference. But obviously, because this Portsmouth fan show is new, Jordan, and you're hopefully going to be a new regular with us talking about Portsmouth, how did you become a writer for Portsmouth News, and how did your love affair with Portsmouth get started for the fans that are listening?
Well, I'm a local lad. I'm from the area, and I've been growing up a Pompey fan through the kind of Jim Smith, bless his soul, and Alan Ball before him. These are the kind of, Portsmouth's a working class city, and these teams are, particularly Alan Ball's side, the Mick Quinns and people in the Mick Kennedys and in the 80s, they were, they epitomised this sort of working class nature. There were fighters, and drinkers off the pitch, actually, and I kind of got romance by that, those teams. And,
easily done.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was fortunate enough to, come out of university and get my foot in the door at the Portsmouth News, and I've been there sort of for 20 years now. So the grey hairs are coming in now, but it's been a tumultuous journey, shall I say. My first full season at the News was Harry Redknapp's first full season when we stormed to the Premier League, and there were some ups and downs. And Christ, I've pretty much seen it all since. The administration, the turmoil, the fight for the club's existence, the fan ownership, the trips away in the UEFA Cup, there's been and the FA Cup success, and even the last season at Wembley as well in the Paint Pot Trophy, as people were calling it at the time. It actually was a fantastic occasion at Wembley against Sunderland. That record-breaking crowd there. So yeah, I consider myself blessed really to be on the Pompey beat, and I don't think there's been many like it in regional journalism, that's for sure.
Yeah, and it's a really interesting one, Jordan, and I say this in all honesty, I think, no exaggeration here, but I think Portsmouth, more than any Football League club, have been on a bigger journey. You mentioned it there. UEFA Cup, Premier League, FA Cup winners, then falling through the divisions, finding themselves in League One. Extreme highs and extreme lows. And where clubs have obviously don't want to be that yo-yo club and have stayed, they've had more memories from that. And I feel that in that space, Portsmouth have become sort of, everyone's got a soft spot for them. Everyone's second team. I remember when they were promoted in those years, using the likes of, Steve Stone, Paul Merson, and Arsenal playing one game and clapping Thierry Henry off the pitch. And everyone wanted Pompey to win that cup game, because everyone just appreciate who they were and what they did and kind of what they stood for in that working class community that you mentioned.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've probably hit the essence of the football club, on the head there, really. I mean, actually, I remember that I was covering the Thierry Henry game, and he was really mesmerised by that. And later when we had AC Milan at Fratton Park, another semi-final.
AC day, Milan at Fratton Park. You mean you can't make bonkers, it up, can you?
It's absolutely bonkers. And you know, pushing them to the limit, and Ronaldinho, which has off-use quote, spoke about the atmosphere being up there with any, or the, you know, better than any he sampled that night in football. So Pompey fans are always keen to dig that one out. So pound for pound, Pompey fans, you know, and the atmosphere at Fratton Park's up there with the best. And I think a lot of it's down to, you know, when people see Pompey or visit Fratton Park, it's an old school stadium, and there's not many that really, of that ilk left in football nowadays. And you know, when you come into the city, it's, you know, I call it an ugly beautiful city. It's a working class naval city, and you know, it's not quite like many others on the south coast and in this part of the world. So I've got a soft spot and feel like it's a unique place and indeed the football club. So yeah, it's a bug, it bites you, and you know, it becomes an addiction and a passion for so many. But you know, that's like football all around the country. That's why we love it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That is the bug, that is the drug, that's why we can't get enough of it. But Jordan, how is it now for you? Because you know, you said growing up as a Pompey fan and living and breathing that side, now you know, working that Pompey beat, as you mentioned, is there still moments where you sort of get a pinch me moment where you think, oh, I can't believe I'm covering the team? And I'm sure there's highs and lows in your own professional work, but then you're just like, this is kind of unique, and I feel lucky to be doing what I'm doing, really.
Yeah, I always use the example of Milan Mandrić was the chairman when I first started covering Pompey, and he was a great character. Obviously, him and Harry Redknapp, you know, the people that you were dealing with, was a baptism of fire, shall we say. And but I, you know, went from kind of, you know, singing "There's Only One Milan," you know, from the Fratton end as a kid, to then kind of having Barney's down the phone with him every 2 minutes, and him writing a statement saying you're angry about me on the club website. And Harry Redknapp said that you know, he thought Jordan Cross was a tube station when he first saw my byline in the newspaper. Yeah, there was loads of bits and pieces of kind of like a pinch me moment, you know, along the way, and a lot of turmoil. I mean, Jim Smith, as I say, was a guy that took me under his wing when he came in, and you know, grew up watching his team, and yeah, there's some real sort of well, you imagine there's a few anecdotes for these people, shall we say, along the way. And I, you know, if I get to pop on this show every so often, I've got quite a few in the army I'll be able to roll out in the coming weeks.
Yeah, Jordan, the worst person to tell, because I don't enjoy anything more than talking about football past, as I alluded to there, with Portsmouth and AC Milan coming, that FA Cup win. If you're the man for the anecdotes, then you will certainly be getting tapped up, because I think a radio highlight for me is hearing you say that you've had a few Barneys when Milan down the phone, and that Jordan Cross is a tube station. This is only the start of a beautiful relationship we're going to have on this Portsmouth fan show. But Jordan, I really appreciate you coming on tonight and giving us a little bit of your time. I look forward to chatting to you more, and then in the future weeks we can hear those anecdotes and obviously get some previews on the games. But that was Jordan Cross there, a Pompey writer for Portsmouth News. Really good insight, as it is on all these fan shows, because why? We're speaking to you, the fans, whether you're working on that beat or whether you're a fan who attends the games or you watch them at home. We're getting your opinion and your insight into your club. It's easy. Just tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
You're listening to the Portsmouth Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. What a show we are having so far. Delighted that I just spoke to Jordan Cross, Pompey writer for Portsmouth News. A real insight to his time and obviously reporting on Portsmouth, and just how he was there as a boy in that working class community. So many clubs are really interesting insight, and it's what we do on this show, because now, once again, we are speaking to Freddie Webb from Pompey News. Now, Freddie, really good to get you back on the show. Enjoyed our chat last week on this Pompey takeover. And it's not just Freddie and it's not just Jordan. You can have your say. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio. Call us 0208 7020 558. Freddie, obviously I watched the game on the weekend, beating Wimbledon, still unbeaten at home. And I know you're a man, you know, you study the game tape, you watch the games and the tactics in the formation. I'm really keen to see what you thought of this. But on the surface, you know, it's three successive 2-1 wins now, and that unbeaten home run, this is going to be massive in that push in this second half of the season.
Oh, precisely. No, it was an excellent win by Pompey, to be honest with you. The first half, it seemed like a completely different team. I really liked the fact that they gave Cameron McGeehan a go immediately in Tenford Field next to Tom Naylor. He played really well. But for me, the standout player of Saturday was Sean Raggett, who I'd never seen him play like that. It was great how he suddenly turned into that ball-playing centre-half who we all wanted. I think he pretty much set up the through ball for the first goal. So it was an excellent performance, really.
Yeah, it was a brilliant performance. And I know AFC Wimbledon maybe aren't lifting up any trees in League One, but they're still a tough side to be, obviously, getting on the score sheet themselves. But Portsmouth just, Fort Knox at home at the minute. And I'm one of those fans that worries and thinks, you know, Mr. Pessimistic over here, that, oh, it's got to end someday, it's got to end someday. There will be one game where we don't. But I just don't get that vibe from the players itself, you know. It just feels like one way or another, they will see this out and they will get that 3 points.
Oh, precisely. Well, of course, with the Fratnet behind them, there's always that extra bit of a lift if, for example, the team goes on a bit of a dip, because that does happen a lot. Pompey usually have that good first half an hour or 45 minutes. And then in the game against Wimbledon, for example, they had a bit of a lull where they conceded the goal, but Kenny Jackett made those substitutions, bringing John Marcus on, and the fans got behind them. And that was one of the reasons why Pompey managed to get another win at home.
Yeah, another win at home. Obviously, unbeaten at home, just a brilliant run. Before we look at that Bolton game next, who are struggling at the minute, you know, maybe it'd be a good chance to spark Portsmouth away form. But you touched upon it there, and we spoke about him at length last week. McGeehan started straight into the team. What did you make of that debut?
I thought it was a very solid debut from Cameron McGeehan. Ben Close probably needed a rest, even though he was playing really well recently. But just like Ronan Curtis, he was dropping off slightly, so giving a rest to a player like that is always a good idea. And he seems to slot in really well. He's got the versatility that I think Portsmouth midfield needed. He can play at number 10, and he could also play in the middle as a box-to-box midfielder. And exactly, he was just that link between the defence and the wingers in terms of how Portsmouth play. And I couldn't have asked for more.
Yeah, couldn't ask for more. Obviously, seemingly just fitting right back into that team. I want to talk about another player now, because Harness's goal, I mean, I really enjoyed that one. What did you make of it, Freddie?
Oh, precisely. It was an excellent goal. It was, as far as I remember off the top of my head, it was great play by Sean Raggett to bring the ball out. And when Marcus Harness gets on the ball in that sort of position, he's usually very good at finishing. A lot of people compare him to Jamal Lowe, but I think they're different sorts of players. Jamal Lowe is more of an inside forward for me, whereas Harness more of a traditional playmaking winger. So it's good to see him get his shooting boots on in those situations to bring the Portsmouth goal tally back up.
Yeah, and it's interesting. Just speaking to Jordan, obviously, before you come on, Freddie, speaking to you last week and saying, how's Portsmouth's season going so far and overall? And you said, look, indifferent start, a bit sticky. And, you know, football's so cyclical. A week later, it changes, you know, very, very quickly. It can change in an instant. But now we are talking about three successive 2-1 wins. We're talking about a strong start to the year, strong start to the decade. And now that's sort of kind of been forgotten just outside those playoffs on goal difference. Now, but this is really something to build on. We could see here, you know, maybe 5-6 wins and a real strong run going forward, can't we?
Oh, precisely. No, seemingly most Pompey performances now since that loss against Accrington away from home, Portsmouth have been improving slowly, game upon game. And it's mainly what they do with possession, which is the main thing that I was really happy about. They're not wasteful in possession anymore. They play direct football, which some fans are umming and ahhing about. But it's direct football with purpose. You can see, for example, with the second goal, Marcus Harness's cross, switching the play from the halfway line all the way to the final third on the opposite side of the pitch. That's the sort of direct football that Portsmouth can do really well with. And yeah, so far, improving game on game. Maybe a couple of signings in defence in January, if they can. But apart from that, I could see Portsmouth having a really good second half of the season.
Yeah, I can. I think maybe, you know, they're the team that have to be favourites to emerge from that chasing and contending pack. Just quickly away from footballing matters on the pitch at the minute, Freddie. Obviously, news this week of a potential Portsmouth new stadium. I know it's been bumbling around for long. It's not new news, but there's been some updates on it. What do you know about the latest situation where a potential new stadium sits?
Okay, well, they've just released phase one of the changes to the Milton end, which, for those who don't know, is the away section of the ground. Beforehand, the club were buying some of the properties behind that stand, so maybe they could extend it in height. But the changes so far that they've made in phase one, which is on the Portsmouth website as well, they're proposing to increase that section of the stand by 45%. So it'll come back to Pompey's original capacity in the Premier League, which is around 20,000. and they're mainly focusing on the nuts and bolts of the stadium, the health and safety matters. But the biggest thing for me is they've fully upgraded the disabled facilities for home and away fans in that section. And also away disabled fans now have their own section, whereas previously they were lumped together. So it was positive changes for me in terms of the development of the new stadium. I think the Isles really want to stay at Fratton Park and will probably do everything in their power to stay there.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. That's what I thought. They're going to want to stay there, but they need upgrading, new facilities. And you're talking about it there, phase one. It's also difficult because sometimes teams... I'm not comparing them to Bournemouth, but we mentioned and we're hearing on shows that Bournemouth, is so tough and not scared to do it. But if they plough all their money into upgrading the stadium, upgrading to training facilities, there's no money to spend on players. They're in that debt. They're tied down for, foreseeable years, 5 years, 10 years. Are Portsmouth kind of in that same bracket?
I think it would be a balancing act, to be honest with you, because a lot of work has gone into the training facilities and phase one of the stadium plans now. But even though there are still gaps in the infrastructure as well, for example, Portsmouth don't have an under-23 team, which I think is something in the summer that they really need to press on with, because currently Portsmouth could potentially lose those youth players who are not quite first-team ready but still have a lot of upside. They end up going to either non-league teams and getting first-team football. And in terms of signing players, most of the money that we used for signing new players in the summer was from selling Jamal Lowe and Matt Clark, which is fine. But we're not going to sell around £7 million worth of players every season. So it's definitely a balancing act that's needed. But I like the fact that the owners aren't going ridiculous with the transfer fees in a desperate attempt to stay up. It's very cool, calm and measured. And I think it will work out in the end.
Yeah, it's got to be a fine balancing act. But it is an exciting new dawn, a new chapter for Portsmouth. Well, let's look at Bolton now on the weekend. I know, obviously, they've had points deducted from them. But they've had some decent results. But this is a game that Portsmouth should be winning, need to be winning. And it's a chance. Now we're seeing, obviously, unbeaten at home and always getting the plaudits on the home form. A chance to maybe kickstart that away form as well, isn't it?
Oh, precisely. No, Bolton are still a very good team, even with the points stopped and so on. They've got some talented players that could always cause Portsmouth problems. But that is the sort of game that, well, with the expectations of Portsmouth getting automatic promotion or at least playoffs, that's the game that Portsmouth needs to be winning.
Yeah, and how do you see this one going, Freddie? Where will this game be won and lost? How can Bolton obviously get at Portsmouth?
It really depends how Kay Jackett organises the team off the ball. Because a lot of times away from home, if Portsmouth get a lead, he can drop deep a lot in terms of if they can't control the possession of the game, they drop really, really deep to go on the counter attack, which sometimes works and sometimes doesn't. It really depends entirely on will Kenny Jackett organise his side to control the possession from the off, or will he sit back a bit and let Bolton play? But if Portsmouth retain possession really well, I think it can be a 2-0 Portsmouth scoreline with John Marquis scoring a couple of goals.
Yeah, and not only that, obviously, Freddie, I mean, it, just based on facts, we've done one show, Portsmouth have played one game and they've won. So if we're going on that, who knows, we'll make it 2-2. But what is your score prediction?
I think it'll be 2-0 Portsmouth.
2-0 Portsmouth. Obviously, I'm not expecting anything less. Freddie, always a delight to speak to you. I look forward to speaking to you again next week on the Portsmouth Fan Show. Well, they are going strength to strength at home, just outside now on those playoff places in League One. Can they make it another win on the weekend when they play Bolton? Well, either way, we'll be right here for the fallout and the reaction, and you can have your say. Can they change that away form? Tweet us at Lovesport Radio or call us 0208 70 20 558. There is action going on, believe you me, in the FA Cup and League One, League Two. So lucky, in fact, then, that we have a reaction and fallout show. The Late Night Fan Show is coming next 10 to 11. There's been some more goals, and I'm going to update you on those next.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.